so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with endurance, patience, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That is a nonsense statement in English to us. We do not associate death and suffering with joy. We do not. We associate joy with the absence of suffering and the absence of pain and certainly the absence of death. Christ said, "This was my great joy to do this for you." And the sin which does so easily beset us or besiege us, and let us run in this, endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. It matters. It matters who your heroes are. It matters who your heroes are. Pray one more time with me. Father, front to back, left and right, speak to hearts. For those who are watching and will watch, those who will listen to the MP3 and the podcast in the weeks to come, I pray that you speak to us. Help us to hear and understand and obey. Help me be faithful to the text. And Lord, as I make mention, Father, these men, Lord, we can't and women, we can't explore their lives, but I pray that you would help us. Speak to our hearts, Father. Use this time in our lives. I ask it in your Son's precious name. And amen, amen. It was several years ago now. I had been invited to somebody's house after church, and I love that. Anybody like being invited to somebody's house after church or on a Saturday or something for a meal, and you know they've cooked a big meal and they got the fancy plates out. Anybody besides me? We don't, you know, in 2019, we don't do a lot of hospitality. I don't know why, we just don't. But we did. And this family had invited me out. I was helping out at a church, so it was just me. So I always was somewhere on Sunday afternoon. And so they like, "Preacher wants you to come and come to our house." And I got there, and it was a, I don't know what kind of house it would have been. I'm good, guys. But it was a Tudor. I would call it a Tudor, but it was a three-story. It was a three-story home. And it basically, it had one of those, it got smaller as it went up kind of things, Amityville-looking houses, you know. And so they live pretty much on the main level. They had some bedroom on the second, but their youngest daughter had somehow convinced her dad to let her live in the small, scary space up there that every horror movie's filmed in. And she was up there, and it was a narrow set of steps. I don't know how they got any furniture or bedrooms up there. Truth of the matter is, I barely got up there. They had to grease me to get me up and down. And so I'm going up there, and the girl was just taken with me and wanted me to say, Preacher Rodney, and thought I was funny. And so I get up there, and of course the house is immaculate because the preacher's coming. Anybody ever, you know, if you got company coming, it's got to be clean. And if you got somebody coming, got a big mouth, it's really clean because you know he's going to talk about it. And so I'm going up, and I get up there, and as soon as I get up there, I am greeted by a 6-foot life size poster of none other than the Lord of the Rings, Legolas, full gear, swagger, movie star hair blowing, and I get up there and I see. And I didn't catch it was a poster. I thought, well, this is odd. He's up here. And he's up here, and I look, and it's looking right at the bed and kind of smirking, and I'm looking at other things. And everybody's like, and Grandma gave me this, and this is from an uncle, and we had this handmade. And I haven't seen anything because all I'm doing is looking at six foot poster of Legolas. And I'm feeling a little uncomfortable because he's all manly and he's rippled and all this kind of thing. And so I look at the girl, I look at the younger teenage daughter, I look at her, I go, "What's this?" You saw him?" "Yeah, I saw him. I'm in a small itty bitty horror room and there's a 6-foot poster of a dude with a bow and arrow and a sword and all that. What do you mean, did I see him? Did I see him? Isn't he cute?" "No. He's not cute . And I look at the dad like, what's this? That's all she wanted to decorate with. I said, "Well, sure. Took up the whole wall. What else do you need? You don't need curtains. You don't need anything fancy." And so I say, I'm just me. I said, "Well, why?" And some of you, the books and the movies and all. And I said, "Well, why do you like him? Why do you like him so much?" I said, do you like him better in the first movie, the second movie, or the third movie? I said, "Did you read the books? Are you more fond of The Hobbit or the Lord of the Rings trilogy?" "Well," I said, Have you seen or read anything about this character? She's digging her toe in the carpet by this point. And I said, are you trying to tell me that you have a poster on the wall of somebody and you don't know anything about him? And she cut me off fast. She said, I do too. He's cute. And I felt really odd being in the teeny bopper's room with a cute six foot tall poster on the wall. And her dad laughed, and her mom laughed. Her sister was just a little bit older. She didn't laugh. She went, yeah, he is cute. And so it was there. Every time I see her, she's married now. I occasionally run into her. I see her parents more often than not. Every now and then they'll see me. We'll be at some event. I saw them out of state at a conference some years ago. And they said, you remember the time you were in our daughter's room and there was a 6 foot tall poster on the wall? And she said he was cute. I said, yeah, I've never forgotten. He said, yeah, yeah, for years and years, every now and then we'd want to get her goat. We'd say, well, at least I'm cute like Legolas. And this is what they did. I told her, I said, well, sis, you know, you need to be careful who you put on the wall. He could be an axe murderer in the movie. She said to me, she said, nobody that good looking's bad. And I reckon that's true in the mind of a 12, 13-year-old girl, I hope maybe she's right, but it's probably not true. We need to be careful. We need to be careful who our heroes are. Let me just get a quick raise of hand. Anybody here ever been disappointed in a hero? You may have been disappointed. Somebody you thought would do really well, and they just, or it wasn't just they disappointed you, but what they did, but they actually did it to you. You gave them all your confidence and your hope, and all of a sudden, I suggest to you, it's not only natural to be disappointed. I think it's wise to understand that we are to be careful. It matters who our heroes are. It matters who we allow to be a hero to our children. How many times have we held up somebody only to find out they had a secret life? How many times we held up someone and they didn't measure up? How many times have we done that? It matters. It matters. I'm amazed sometimes. I'm amazed. I was recounting again, you know, on TV, Michael J. Fox for years and years starred on a program where he was all about money and all about greed, and that was all he was ever after. That's not the kind of hero we want. Not the kind of hero we want. We have to be careful. We have to be careful who we allow to be heroes to our children and our grandchildren, to be a hero in our lives. And I want to suggest some worthy heroes to you today. Some worthy heroes, particularly from the Scripture and even from our own American history here. See, if we understand the benefits of freedom, if we think through the fact that tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day we're supposed to pause and remember, if we think through the fact that so many of us were born here in America, and if not, you get to live here now simply by the grace of God. I've read tribute after tribute this past week, people talking about grandparents and aunts and uncles and those who gave all, some being remembered who were never known by their grandchildren or great-grandchildren. As we think about that, one of my favorite pictures is of our children. They were smaller, kneeling and surrounding my grandfather's grave who served and did so many things in the military. I can go on and on there. We are all indebted to someone. We have a great debt. So I want to help us this morning. I want to help us. Keep your Bibles open to Hebrews 11. I'm going to go quickly here, but I want to do a couple things. If you can take some notes or look on your app there. Number one, I think we should always remember what people fought for. If we're going to talk about heroes, we're going to be earnest about heroes, we should remember what they fought for, what they fought for. See, the great soldiers of our country fought for freedom. It's an anomaly to me. When Leonel Sotero, the vice president of the Free Will Baptist there in the whole nation island of Cuba, when he was here, he sat down and sat in our table, sat in our breakfast room, and he said to me, he said, Rodney, he said, why are Americans infatuated with socialism? I said, because they don't know any better. He said, let me tell them. I come to America and I go, this is how it's supposed to be. I go back home and they don't understand just how awful it is. They've parceled out the internet access there because they know as soon as they get full internet access, even if they get full internet access, they know that they're going to see how the rest of the world lives. That's why China's doing that now. I'm not trying to be political. I'm speaking about freedom. And we're talking about freedom here. They've fought against this. And it's amazing to me that politicians are running on a platform of something that they're for when you and I have distant relatives, some of you have near relatives, who fought and died in World War II against this kind of stuff. It's an amazing thing. We have short memories about this kind of stuff. We should remember what they fought for. We can speak our minds without fear of a prosecution and intimidation. We can move about. We can drive where we want to. We can cast our vote for people that we agree with and come from the Bible. We can do that. We got to worship this morning freely. Freely. Well, you remember what they fought for. Let me remind you. Verse 32, verse 33. There were soldiers of the cross who fought. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, weakness made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight. The armies of the intruders and the alien, they fought the good fight of faith. I was in a discussion with a guy this past week. He said, Rodney, why do so many young people not want to serve Jesus? Actually, he said like this. He said, we can't get preachers to come and name the state he's in. We'll give them a good job. He said, we can't do full time in a church. But we can get them a good job with a good pension. They'll make more money this way. They'll have time to serve. He said, but they only want to come on their terms. He said, we have tried for 10 years. Any college you want to name, we can't get anybody to come. We have churches with no pastors. We've got everything lined up. They won't do it. What can we do to solve it? I said to him simply, I said, A, I don't know. B, it's because we've lost the idea that serving Jesus means more than a life of comfort. Sometimes it means being a soldier of the cross. Man, when we are struggling here in America to get out of bed, or to be a little extra, give a little extra. That's a long way from being a soldier of the cross, isn't it? We sometimes need to remember what we're fighting for and what they fought for. We need to sometimes remember what's important in our lives. We should remember what they fought for and honor them. We should remember why they fought. Why they fought. They had faith in the cause. I'm convinced of the scandals of the past and the constant drip, 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 drip of Twitter et al. Has undermined our confidence in institutions. Let me help you. If the institutions all are rotten, the cause is still right. Because God, in man made in His image, was made to be free and to correspond to Him. And we get that great opportunity. But even still, even if everything in 2019 is rotten, and it's not anywhere close, even if everything was rotten, I'm convinced that those men and women died honorably fighting for what is right, fighting for what is right. I stood, evangelist friend of mine, I stood with his father off to the side, unable to stand, as he recounted being a soldier who liberated one of the concentration camps in Germany, and with tears running down his face, talked about carrying a grown man who weighed barely 60 pounds, carried him out of the concentration camp, and with tears streaming down his face, he looked at me and said, do not give me any food, only give me a little bit of liquid. He said, I'm a physician, I know if I eat too much it will kill me. And he said, I carried that man and nursed him back. He said, and the last time I saw him, he was on the ambulance and prayed that he would be okay. We do this. We remember why. We remember why they fought. We remember why we fight. Why we fight. What's the cause there? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God to salvation. Say, preacher, you ever get discouraged? Yeah. You ever think, man, this should be different? Yeah. You ever think, man, you ought to preach better? Don't nobody say amen. And you ever think that? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't misunderstand. I'm not just fighting for us. Somebody say amen to that. I'm fighting because I believe in His cause. I'm fighting because He put us here. We tracked it. Brother Wells and Joe remember me saying this, I'm sure. We went through a time where we'd have people come in and they didn't know Christ. You almost mark it down 90 days. 90 days. If they didn't trust Christ, they were gone. We went through that cycle here. It discouraged me so badly until I figured out, you know what? God put us in their lives for 90 days. And for 90 days, they got to hear the gospel. And for 90 days, for 13 weeks, they got to have fellowship with Christ. And for 90 days, and it wasn't always 90 days, but it just roughly ended up that way. I'm glad God thought so much of Hardin Valley Church to let us be a station for people, maybe one of their last opportunities to say yes to the gospel. And they could come and they could hear. So doesn't it discourage you? They didn't make it upsets me and it offends me. It doesn't discourage. It encouraged me that God said, "Hey, I'm going to put these people here in their hard case and their hard. They got lots of trouble and they don't understand. And you clearly give them the gospel and you love the church family, love on them and help them to know that there is a Savior and there's deliverance from their sin. And we press on because the cause is worth fighting for. We remember why they fought. Remember how they fought. How they fought. They fought courageously." Verse 33 is all about courage. Verse 34, all about courage. Verse 38 says, the world was not worthy. They fought courageously. It takes courage to fight. It doesn't take any courage to go, By the way, and we need to do a little better than just frowny face on social media, don't we? Well, I told them, some of us are crazy reckless on that thing anyway. We'd be better off to be a little quieter on some social media. There's lots of hurt feelings and hurt people who, because of folks are just all of a sudden they're paper tigers. And we do a little better. We do a little better to do something different. Why are we wanting to be involved with the Hope Resource Center and help ladies in crisis pregnancy? Because it takes some courage, and because that's standing not just against something, that's standing for something. We're for you, ladies. We want to help you, ladies. We want to help you throw a shower for you. We'll make it easy for you to do this, whether your husband or your boyfriend's on board or not. Man, the answer is not taking the life of that child. We want to do that. We want to do that with compassion. It takes some courage to do that. And again, serving at our homeless shelter, the Carm Center down there, is about as easy as a thing you'll ever do as far as that. They cook the food. They clean everything up. We just serve and love on the people. It's a simple operation for us. Man, it takes a little bit of courage. It takes a little bit of courage to say, hey, we're going to spend all kind of money and throw an event, invite the community in. We want to do that simply so we can tell them about the glorious gospel of Christ. It takes some courage to take a stand. Some of you at work, man, when God's name is blasphemed, man, you take a stand and say, listen, it's free country, but it'll appreciate it around me if you don't take God's name in vain like that, because he's my lovely Lord and Savior. We remember how they fought. They did it with courage. Did it with courage. We should remember the advances. Go back to verse 33. Subdued kingdoms, righteousness, promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I want you to catch all that. You still with me? Say amen. I know you're a little warm. Some of you are warm. Every one of those was a disaster to start. If you got to go spend the night in a lion's den, it ain't going to be good, right? They're going to come in with a shovel and a dustpan to get you the next morning. Some of the weirdest, craziest, scariest things you'll ever see is some kid climbing over at the zoo and dropping down into the baboon, lion, tiger, whatever, people going crazy trying to get that kid out of there because they know he's toast. They know it's over. Rightfully so. Daniel was what? They dropped him down. Quenched the violence of fire. The Hebrew children, they put him in there. It was so hot, the men trying to put him in this unbelievable furnace actually died on the way in. Not only did the men survive, but their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. That is God. It always looked bad before God did something amazing. We should remember their advances. We take heart that God is in control. That God is in control. Over and over again, one of the favorite things I told this right after I went, I got to go to the ostensibly the hero from Tennessee. They had a big display downtown at the History Museum or Museum of Natural History, and they had a whole deal. I got to go in. It was the last day, and as I was going in. They were like, we're not going to charge you. We're going to pack this thing up tonight and tomorrow. And so I got to walk in. They were actually videoing and doing a documentary on all the exhibits. They had all the first-run newspapers. They had things he'd signed. It was just absolutely amazing. They had the movie contract, something, a facsimile of it. And they said the only person who could play him was Gary Cooper. He stipulated that. because he thought he was a good actor, and he wanted everybody to think he was good looking. And I reckon so. And they had, and I got to see them. They had done some mock-ups there of where he had shot the soldiers and all these kind of, and I'm walking around. And I'm going, as this thing got told, it helped turn the tide of the war. It encouraged people. One man could make a difference. By the way, it came back, and there were schools, and there was money and funding, and there was all kind of resources came to Tennessee because of his fame. Because those kind of just absolutely positively amazing. We remember their advances. Let me remind you, somebody got the gospel to you if you're a Christ follower. Somebody got the gospel to you. Somebody went, would you like to come to church with me? You know, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Somebody went, I know that's not really your thing, but man, I'm telling you, it's changed my life. Changed my life. I know what you said, but the Bible says somebody came to you. I've told the founding pastor here multiple times. He's struggling mightily with his health. I've looked at him, Brother Fender. You left pretty simplicity. You were fast-tracked a lot of things. You had a business that was doing well, preaching. You were here. You almost broke your health. You buried a wife. And you came out here on a two-lane road, turned into a dirt road down the way a little bit. You believed that the planning commission was right and that Knoxville was coming this way, and boy, did they. You said, we're going to do this and build a church to the honor and the glory of the Lord. He did all that and didn't get to stay very long after the building was built. And it stayed at encouragement all these years. I remind him every now and then, 13 people that made a profession of faith, or 11 people made a profession of faith last year, you had a part in that, Brother Fender. 13 people we baptized last year, you had a part in that, Brother Fender. Every missionary that's been supported out of here, you had a part in it. We remember their advances. Say, it doesn't matter what I do. What you do for Christ as a warrior for Christ matters. We should remember those who did for our country. We should remember those who did for us spiritually. We should remember the hardships they endured. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Let me help you. That meant, first of all, that somebody died. Man, if you just serve Jesus, everything will be just right. Let me give you a case in point. They served Jesus and one of their children passed. Husband passed. So it was a miracle. It came back to life. I got news for you. They died again anyway. Others were tortured. Man, if I just lived for Jesus, no. If you want to see something sobering, you go and look and you find there's a couple groups that track Christian persecution. Some of those underreported stories in the media right now, what's going on in other countries, and how Christians are being wholesale persecuted. We are upset because somebody looks at his crossways. We're mad because it's too hot and it's too cold. And other folks, man, they're going to church and coming home and their family were tied up in the house and the house set on fire. We remember the hardships. Remember the hardships. War is not pleasant. War is not pleasant. They were mocked and scourged and imprisoned. All these things. Spiritual war by its nature causes many hardship. Your Bibles are open there. I think I've got this on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How much better would all our churches be if folks said, you know what, I'm just going to endure hardness as a good soldier. Tony Evans says it like this. Wonderful African-American preacher. He said, my son served, my dad served, said I didn't serve. He said, one thing I figured out from my dad and from my son. If you're in the hole and you got on the helmet, and you got a gun in your hand, and somebody's shooting at you and you're shooting at them, it ain't personal. You just on the other end of things. Nobody's trying to hurt your feelings. They're trying to kill you. But don't be upset and crying because they're shooting at you. That's what you signed up for. Don't be surprised all of a sudden. Well, look at that. There's a bullet coming right in my helmet. He said, here's what we're doing. I'm on the Lord's side, and then we're worried because the devil's mad with us. No, when I decided to be on the Lord's side, I just understood, man, he's on one side, I'm on the other, and here's how it's going to be, and it's going to be a war until he is finally conquered and put away with, and until then, I will still be on the Lord's side, and I will just endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. We have trouble. We have so much trouble with just minor things. We've invented a word for it. Everybody looked right at me for a second. We call it adulting. We call it adulting. Got to go to work. I hate adulting. I got to make my bed. I hate adulting. All young people here are going, don't work, don't make my bed. I don't care. And we're even so funny right now. We're so funny right now. And I used to be able to exclude Roy, but Roy, I can't exclude, or excuse me, Rusty, I got to include Rusty now. And we're upset because we run out of power on our phones. I'm at 5%. Ah! It's kind of funny, isn't it? Some of you are like, I'm at 10% now. It's not funny. And we little itty-bitty things are now really, really big things. We're kind of crazy. We're upside down cuckoo about some things, aren't we? To endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I will serve him if it costs me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, of the Jews received I 40 stripes, 5 times 40 stripes, save 1, thrice beaten with rods, 1 stone, thrice suffered shipwreck, at night and a day I've been in the deep. Let me help you. We wouldn't have hired him here because he's got a criminal record. Right? He had to do some explaining because he's done that. And then we wouldn't let him drive anything, right? Because everything he gets in crashes, right? No, our insurance won't cover you. Every time you do, man, something bad happens. In perils by heathens, perils in cities, perils in wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among brethren. Weariness, painfulness, watchings often, and thirstings, and fastings, and cold, and nakedness. Besides those things without that which come among me daily, the care of all the churches. Nothing I love hearing any better than, preacher, I made you something. I'm sorry. Nothing I like hearing any better than, man, praying for you. Any given day, ups and downs and highs and lows and side to sides. Any given day, bad news, good news, and by the way, I'm glad to be a shepherd, under shepherd. I can't imagine 2 churches, 3 churches, 4 churches, 5 churches. I can't imagine trying to help multiple churches in multiple cities and all that burden. Can you just grab a hold of that for a second? Some of us are here going, I can't handle my own problems, much less a whole bunch of people's problems. The daily care of all the churches. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We should remember the price that they paid. We should remember the price that they paid. They paid a high price. I get freedom of speech. I really think I do, and I appreciate it. Having said that, I'm still not a whole lot on somebody stomping on a flag. I'm not a whole lot on somebody burning it. I'm just not. I get it. I get you can't hold both in your hands, but if I'm going to swing one way or the other, I'm going to swing paying honor to that which people died for. Political cartoonists created a national furor last week. The Iwo Jima Memorial, there's the Marines pushing the flag back up. It is an immortal kind of a thing. Political cartoonists had 5 babies in diapers pushing up. The flag set alife as Alabama took an unbelievable strong stand for those not yet born. Reaction was furious and swift, still goes on. I don't know if the guy will keep his job or not. It was so vicious, I don't have any idea. I think you can't respect whoever, governor, senator, congressman, still respect the office, still respect the position. And I think there's something worthy to respect those things that represented. You respect the price that they paid. Maryland last week, cemetery for soldiers. They'd gone and desecrated it, spray painted it, ripped up the flags, thrown them on the ground. I think that's wicked. I think you ought to honor the sacrifice of people who paid the price for you. Somebody say amen to that. I think we ought to remember the price people paid. for every missionary who gave up their help, for every Sunday school teacher who got up early. I think for every hour spent on the knees praying for, I think we remember the price that they paid. Remember the price that they paid. And we remember we have the same responsibility. That's chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, people are divided. Commentators, not so much, but people are divided, saying, well, I believe that they're in heaven, that they're able to watch, and it's a grandstand kind of thing, and they can see what's going on here, and that's the cloud of witnesses. That may be the case. My own opinion, my own study is that people in eternity don't know that much going on down here simply because that would cause them pain and grief. And God has wiped away all the tears from our eyes. And so I'm of the disposition that they are infatuated with Christ and probably don't know very little here. That's usually a little more myth. That's a guardian angel kind of stuff and all that. Be that as it may, textually it seemed like it's just talking about chapter 11. These heroes of faith, we're compassed with all these people who have gone on before us. We are to now run the race. We are now to wage the war. We are now to live for Jesus. We have the same responsibility. Every generation must pass it along. Every generation must pass it along. Our president from years ago, Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was a spokesperson and the unofficial leader of the Boy Scouts of America. At the time in the great societal upheaval, there was a TV spot they did. He was mocked for it mercilessly in later days, but I thought about it a lot lately. And they would put pictures up, and they would put pictures of litter, and they put pictures of chaos, and somebody doing this, burning a flag, and they would come back to him, and he'd say, boy, do we need scouting. We need to pass on honor, dignity, respect, love for country to the next generation of young men. Now, despite the fact he was mocked, he was absolutely right. America needed something. We are always to do this. I'm not successful as a pastor if we continue to have folks turn 18 and they leave the church. That's not what we're supposed to be about. I was trying to look around. I think we might be missing somebody. I'm missing somebody from the 60s here. I'm not sure. But we've got all kind of generations here represented here, all decades represented in the building right now. That's a church. Church is supposed to be multi-generational. We are to pass this along. We get to serve the same way. We get to war the same way. Memorial Day ought to be about, hey, somebody else has done this. It is my turn now. We are to guard the faith. We are to respect the Christ of the cross. And we are to ensure that the next generation hears, understands, and obeys. It matters who our heroes are. Money doesn't make much of a hero. Athleticism doesn't make much of a hero. Faithfulness to country, that'll get you a step in the ring. God and country, now I think you've taken a step up. Let me help you. And if you'll be the right citizen of heaven, I think you want to be a right citizen here. I think they go hand in hand. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It matters who our heroes are. It matters who our heroes are. Would you pray with me right now? Nobody's looking around. Our heads are bowed.